Al Perhacks here, and welcome to Mind Force Hypnotic Influence Bootcamp, lesson number 5. This is also week number 5 in the bootcamp, and we're going to go over some very interesting information that I know is going to allow you to take your skills to an even higher level. Every week builds on from one week to the next as far as getting you the skills that you need, and I'm doing it in a way that enables you to be able to learn a different skill or a different skill set, so that by the time we're done with this 12 weeks, you're gonna be ahead of probably 99% of the people that have ever taken a hypnosis course. Because most of the times, a hypnosis course is jammed down their throat, very similar to the way my courses are too. I mean, I've got tons of hours in a lot of the courses, but I never set it up in a boot camp fashion. I'm glad I did it, and I'm getting a lot of great feedback as a result. And the whole key is that you've got to take the skill sets and start drilling them every day. That's how you're going to get good. So let's get started. We're going to talk about setting the hypnotic game plan and why you want to set a hypnotic game plan. Because it's crucial, it's critical that you understand where you're going. And I've said this in one of the other lessons as well. You want to have a clear concept of what you want. It's critical. It's crucial that you really understand where you're going with everything that you're doing. And if you don't know, then you're going to be at a loss, and you're not going to be as successful with covert persuasion or hypnotic influence than somebody that does have a good concept of what's going on. You always want to begin with the end in mind. Whatever the outcome is, that's the way you build hypnotic influence and covert persuasion. You begin with the end in mind. So for example, if I were in a sales situation, if you're in sales, doesn't always have to do with somebody stroking you a check or giving you a credit card. It could. But it could be something as simple as them actually taking the next step. And so that could be the end in mind for that step. There may be several steps on the way to getting what it is that you're looking for. An example would be if you're going to, let's say, a bar or a club and you're looking to meet a young lady, something to that effect, and you know your ultimate goal is to get her number. Well, maybe you have some little steps in between, actually creating a conversation, finding out a little bit more about her, so on and so forth. But you understand where you're going. You have the end result in mind. Now, maybe the end result in some guys' minds might be, you know, to actually, you know, go to bed with a woman or something to that effect. That's maybe being a little graphic, but that could be the end in mind. But you have to go through all these other steps to get to there. Same thing with closing the sale. It's going to take a little time and effort to do that. But this is a key to hypnotic influence success. A lot of times, people get into the unrealistic expectation that you just throw some trance words at somebody or you just throw a pattern at them and all of a sudden their eyes are going to start to go in the back of their head and you've got them totally tranced out. Well, that's not always the case. And what we're going to cover in this section, or this boot camp training, is I'm going to show you how to what I like to call salting the oats, which means if you had an animal that you wanted to feed, you salt the oats so that they eat it. You salt the oats for the horse and they come over and they're going to eat it a lot more than if you don't salt the oats. And so we're going to salt the oats for anybody that we're dealing with. We're going to sweeten the pot. We're going to make it more palatable for them to deal with. And see, what this is this is a setup. There's always a setup in everything that you do. You set up somebody in a self-defense situation as well. If you're trying to beat somebody in a fight, you set them up, it's easier to beat them than if you just go straight at them, especially if you have two skilled fighters. I don't know how I got off on that tangent, but that's the case. So why do you want to have a game plan? Everyone does something for a specific reason or intent. Once you find out what their reasons and intents are, you can figure out a way to present the solution to their challenge. Now, you're going to notice as I go through this training, I probably even mentioned it in some of the other sections. I may not even remember that I said it. But one thing that is first and foremost in my mind is that I'm the solution to their challenge. I'm the solution to their situation, whatever that might be. And that everyone that you look to influence, that you look to persuade, that you look to put into a hypnotic influence situation, is going to do something or other for a specific reason. They're not just going to do it because you tell them to do it. Now, it's true and not true. I mean, the thing is, I talked about salting the oats. Now, you may talk to somebody about buying a product, and they may not be interested. But see, if you are able to find out exactly what it is that they want, and ultimately your product fits their needs, well then obviously you've got a match made in heaven. You got a win-win situation. But see, when you have a misalignment where there's no connection whatsoever, you can't really get it to work very well. You can't really get it to work very well at all. In fact, what happens a lot of times is people don't get congruency in what they're doing. And so they try to push it. Anytime you try to push something and it's not easy to push it, you only get rejection, frustration, failure. So why deal with that, right? So you got to find out what their reasons and intents are, and then you can make a play, make a ploy, make a strategy to figure out a way to present that solution to the challenge. When I say a solution to the challenge, people look at that and say, oh, that sounds like a business thing. Nah, it could be anything. It could be, you know, seeing, I use the two specific examples of a sales situation, and I use a specific example of a dating or social situation where you're seeing somebody at a bar and you're seeing this beautiful person. You know, if you're a female, you see a good-looking guy, or if you're a man, you see an attractive woman, and you want to present the solution. What's their challenge? That they're bored. Maybe they don't have enough excitement in their life, and you're there to do that. From the sales perspective, you're there to get them a product that they can use to make their life easier. You're there to help them to get into a situation where it's going to be better. But not every solution is going to be a benefit to them. For example, if you were selling high-end automobiles like a Mercedes or a Bentley or a Porsche, and the person that you were talking to just could not afford it, you could do the most persuasive job in the world, but if they cannot get approved for the financing, then it doesn't really matter. And the same thing's true with a house or anything else that falls into that category. I want to talk about reasons, intents, and challenges, because these are the things that are going to cause people to start moving either forward, or they're going to start moving backwards. And I'm going to show you exactly how we do this, because it's critical. It's critical. Like I said, it's critical when you're doing hypnotic influence that you find out what somebody's reasons are. Somebody says they don't like the way you look, there's a reason. If somebody says they don't want to buy from you, there's a reason. There's a challenge. There's an intent. They already have an intent. You see? You talk to somebody and they have an intent that they want to go on a trip to Hawaii, and you want to talk to them why they should be going to Mexico, may not work out so well. But guess what? If you find out that there's a challenge of them getting to Hawaii, you know, it's $3,000 more than going to Mexico, guess what? You can meld those two things together and get the response and the results that you want. When you do reasons, intents, and challenges, you find out exactly how to influence the person. Now, this is the key, is that you use their own view of the world in order to influence them. And what most people do is they try to force feed somebody something that they don't want. They try to force feed somebody an idea, a concept, or something that they just don't want. And you see, when you do that, you get a negative response, you get bad results. So why in the world would you do that? And yet people do it every day. And like I said, when it comes down to hypnotic influence, I've talked to people so many times where I'm doing counseling with them or mentoring with them, and I'll say, well, what were the reasons? What were their challenges? What were their intents? What do you know about this person that you're trying to influence? They oftentimes said, oh, I don't know. I used this specific pattern and it just didn't work. This stuff doesn't work. Well, you didn't set it up properly. I mean, if you go into a high-level hypnotist, a hypnotherapist even, like I've said before, they set you up. They sit down. They may speak with you for a half an hour, an hour before they ever go into the induction, and you need to really understand this, because it's very important that when you're out there, out and about, you need to do the same thing with people. It's laying a strong groundwork for your covert persuasion. Again, I always call it coming in the back door of the mind. You see, when you're getting to somebody's back door of the mind, all of a sudden you start working. Now, when you take these concepts and you meld in the bonding and rapport concepts, getting somebody to know you, like you, and trust you, all of a sudden, you've got a lot of things going for you that even before you get to any real hypnotic influence, you're about 50% there, maybe even more. Some of these points, when I first started going through this training, a lot of my instructors said, this is the stuff you need to get good at, because the patterns are easy to learn. Subliminal suggestions are easy to learn. This is the stuff that takes a little thought power. So let's talk about discovering challenges. Why would we want to discover a challenge with somebody? Why does that make sense to try to find a challenge with somebody? Well, the fact of the matter is that individuals, if they have a challenge and you find out what that is, you can come up with a solution to that challenge. A good example is somebody has a challenge where they can't find the right person to date, male or female. Well, you find out what those challenges are. They can't find the right guy in the right age group. They can't, you find out all that information, and then it's very easy to put a solution together. But if you don't know that, if you know that a woman's looking specifically, let's say you're a Caucasian, you're white like me, and the woman, who's white also, only wants a black guy, guess what? You could be barking up the wrong tree from the beginning because you don't know there's a challenge there. And I don't know if that's a good example or not. It might be a terrible example, but the point of the matter is you've got to be able to find somebody's issues and deal with it. Just like somebody came to you as a hypnotherapist and says, hey, I'm smoking too much. How do I get rid of this? Okay, that's the challenge. Let's get the solution. Now, what I have here on the screen is the way I get into the challenge. And there's a lot of ploys here that I'm using, and I'm going to go over it right now. Well, I realize that you don't yet know a lot about me. Let me just pose something to you, John. If I were to ask you, what's the one aspect of what you do that's a challenge or that you find most fulfilling, either because you have to find the right person or software, or you just have to focus in to get yourself motivated to do it, what would that be? Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I've got subliminal suggestions in here. I've got embedded commands. And I'm going to show you this exact challenge when we get into the embedded command section, and I'm going to show you exactly how that works. But for right now, you don't even need to know that. If you do, that's fantastic. What this does is this draws somebody out, that one aspect of what you do that is a challenge. Or what is it that you find most fulfilling? Either because you have to find the right people or software. Now, this is coming from a business standpoint, but you could easily rework this to find, what would you do that's a challenge or you find most fulfilling, either because you have to find the right person or you just have to focus to get yourself motivated to do it. What would that be? Or find the right venue. It could be finding the right place to be, the right opportunity. There's so many different words you can do, but see, what this does is get somebody thinking. And as I mentioned before, anytime you get somebody's mind processing and thinking, what is the end result? They automatically are starting to go into a trance-like state. This has always been the case. Even when you were going to school, even when, no matter what you do, you've always gone into a trance-like state. That's how trance-like states actually happen, is because you start thinking and processing. And while you're processing and while you're starting to actually give that answer, the persuader, the covert persuasionist, the hypnotic influence specialist can then start to hit you with some subliminal suggestions, some trance words, and so on and so forth. And that's exactly what we're doing here. And I want you to practice that. I want you to practice that on somebody. In fact, what I want you to do, okay, we got messed up here a little bit. Let's go back. And go back to finding reasons and intent. So we found some challenges, and I want you to use that mechanism to be able to actually find out somebody's challenge. So do that this week. Go out and you actually use that verbatim, you know, pretty much like that. It could be slightly different. Now, finding reasons and intents. How would we do that? Again, a lot of what we're going to be doing is questions. And you want to find out a reason or intent of somebody, you're going to have to ask questions. There's no other way to get around it. If somebody says to me, man, I'm looking for somebody that I could really get along with and you know, have fun with. Really, what's significant about that? You finding somebody that you really want to have fun with. What's significant about that? And again, get them processing. They're going to tell you what that significance is. Why is that significant? Why is that? Why do you find that to be significant? Now here's what you do. Is that, let's say, you say, what's significant about you finding someone that you really get along with well? What's significant about that? And they tell you, well, it's significant because then, you know, I will feel like I have somebody and it'll be make me feel better and I won't be as depressed. I won't be, you know, thinking about, you know, putting that gun in my mouth, so on and so forth. That was funny, by the way. If you're not laughing, I'm sorry. It wasn't meant to be serious. Why is that significant? And again, when you ask a question what, and then you ask a question why, it puts a different spin, it gives you a different answer. You could also use the same thing in a sales scenario. What's significant about you getting this project done? And they tell you, well, we got to get this project done because when we do that, we're going to be able to earn more money, or we're going to be able to do more projects ourselves, we'll be able to do this and this. Why is that significant? That's significant because when I do that, there's a promotion coming up and I may get promoted, something like that. Because, and this is significant because, it just adds another layer. We're stacking layers on top of layers. Because, when you say that word because, it gives them another perspective. Now, obviously, if you're sitting with someone in a bar or you're in a social atmosphere, you cannot be robotic with questions. It's just kind of like, hey, what's significant about, you know, you wanting to meet somebody to hang out with? What's significant about that to you? And they say, you know, I don't know, why is that significant to you? And is it something you're looking, you know, is it taking a while to work that out? Is it because, you know, it would make you happy? You know, you start feeding them the questions. So ultimately, what would this mean to you? Okay, so ultimately, what would this mean to you if you were able to find the person that really made you happy and you were able to get along with, go out and have a great time? Ultimately, what would that mean to you? And they're going to think. And they're going to... Now, let me explain something to you. You're going to look at these questions and you're going to think that they seem very robotic, as I mentioned before. But as you begin to work them into your repertoire, you may use two or three of them, you may use all of them, but as you start to get comfortable with this type of questioning, what you're going to find out is that the person that you're talking to is going to start to become more where they know you, like you, and trust you. Do you know why? Because you're taking an interest in them. You're not talking about yourself, and that's what most people do, is they'll say, oh, what do you do for a living? And somebody will say, I do XYZ, and then you say, well, I do ABC. Oh, let me tell you about that. I do about... And even if somebody, you know, when I used to do this all the time in business, and I would ask somebody, what do you do for a living? And they would say, I'm an investment banker. I would say, well, I have my own marketing company, or I whatever I was doing at the time. I would immediately say, investment banking, that's great. What, you know, what do you like about that? What's most important to you about being an investment banker? You know, why is that significant? So again, mixing it up a little bit, you see? So ultimately, you know, and they give me some reasons of what they're looking to do and whatever, and I said, ultimately, what would this mean to you if you were able to make that happen? You see? And that's just the way it comes across, but it comes across that you are interested in them. You see? And you're not interested in them in a way that sounds too weird. And then, what would you do with that ultimate reason? So ultimately, what would you do with this situation? And then ultimately, what would you do with, you know, that ultimate result? What would you do? How would that impact you? Now again, don't take all the words that are on this page and say, oh, I gotta say it exactly. You gotta be able to morph You've got to be able to align your communication and your conversation with the particular individual that you're dealing with. It's not something that you're just spitting out words. So again, I understand that as you're going through these things, that it's going to take time and effort. I also understand that you're going to feel a little foolish in the beginning. I also understand that it's not going to be the easiest thing for you to remember everything. So just do a couple pieces of it. Again, this is the long form. There might be the short form. Which, what's significant about that? Why is that important to you? Because why? Well, you know, what does that do for you? Ultimately, what would this mean to you if you were able to blank? And what would you do if you were able to do blank? You know, what would you do? I mean, how would that make you feel? You know, different things like that. So, anyway, that's finding reasons and intents. Now, the other thing you want to find out is, are they moving towards or away? And I talked a little bit about this in the bonding and rapport, but let's talk a little bit more about that, because this is really a significant one. Somebody that's moving towards, this is the type of person that views things from a very positive, or what I would say is a proactive position, and they're always looking ahead and looking for the future. Which means they're very motivated by gain. They're motivated by something interesting. They like challenges. They like doing things. They expect, their expectations are future-based. Whereas individuals like that, an example would be someone who looks at their job as a bridge to the future. You know, someone that takes some types of risks to get there. And that's what you're looking at there. Now, somebody that's moving away, this person views things from more of a negative perspective. I say negative perspective, but let's face it, there's yin and yang. It's positive and negative. Doesn't mean that they're solely positive or solely negative. But an example is they look at their job as their security, and their view is to do a good job, and they're not looking to lose it. So again, they're defensive, whereas the other person's more offensive. They're looking forward, looking ahead. Now, by doing the reasons, intense challenges, you're going to find out exactly the type of person they are. For instance, if you talked about somebody about their job and they talked about, you know, oh, there's been layoffs and I'm worried about getting laid off and that type of thing, they're going to be moving away. And so how you motivate somebody is you motivate them by talking to them about how to protect themselves even more. As a self-defense instructor, those are the types of people that take self-defense classes. They're moving away. You know, they're trying to protect themselves, trying to be defensive. Individuals that are moving towards are the individuals that want to learn how to fight. And they want to become fighters. Now, they can still use it for self-defense, but their concept is a fighter's concept. The other person's is a concept of self-defense, self-protection, self-awareness. Pretty similar, but yet different. And if hopefully you understand how to motivate the people in those situations. What I want you to do is over the next week, is also as you talk to people, whether they're friends, family, classmates, people that you work with, I want you to categorize, write down the names of your friends, your colleagues. And even if you do it right now, even think about them right now and think, do they move towards or do they move away? And start to do that, because as you start to understand how people react inside their head, you're going to understand how you can motivate them. Some people are motivated negatively by saying, do this or you'll lose that. Other people are motivated by, do this and you'll gain that. You see, there's a totally different perspective there. Now, let's talk about the power of your presence, because when we talk about a hypnotic game plan, and you'll notice that I've probably talked about this concept maybe every week so far. I'm going to continue to talk to you about this because it's so important, is that you've got to learn to carry yourself with power. I talked about wrapping your package. I talked about your posture. I talked about all these things in order to prepare you, because you've got to prepare yourself for power. When you talk about posture, another way is the posture is the mentality, is the attitude that you carry, and that is equally as important as anything else that's out there. The most successful persuaders, influencers, are going to be those that have the confidence, and I talked a great deal about that as well. And I'm going to keep talking to you about it, because I want it drilled into your brain that you got to start playing the role of the specialist. You got to become comfortable with being powerful. Most people never get comfortable with it. It's always uncomfortable. Even though they take a boot camp like this, or they take a class, or they read a book, and they want to become more powerful, they never truly become comfortable with that concept because they never really believe that they are powerful. And the thing is, the word powerful. Powerful has a lot of connotations to it, but powerful can be being in control. That's why I like to call it being a controller. But being powerful is understanding where you're at, understanding how strong you are in a given situation. Everyone is powerful at certain points. Just like I said, everyone is a specialist at something at some point. Everyone has done something good at some point. And you need to learn how to become powerful in what it is that you want to accomplish. And specifically as it relates to hypnotic influence and covert persuasion, is become comfortable with the fact that you are becoming a powerful person. That you are exactly what you want to become. That you can do that. So, that was a little bit of a pep talk. Let's talk about the three levels of communication. I know we've talked about this in the past, but let me go in a little more detail. And as we roll into this, this concept is going to prevail through the next coming weeks. Because, see, what we do in the next couple weeks is adding on layers. Again, like I said, we're layering the concepts. We're layering the methods. We're layering the strategies so that, yeah, you learned something 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago that was appropriate at that time. Now we're going to kind of add layers to it. It's the difference between having a stick man. You know, if you drew a stick man on a piece of paper and then you started filling in the stick man with some bones, or not bones, but some skin and some made it look more like a person, and then you actually clothe that stick man and you put hair on it or a hat or whatever, you're starting to build up the layers to the point where it's complete. Three levels of communication. Number one is what you say verbally, which we've been working on. We're going to be even working on it more in the next couple weeks because we're going to get into the patterns, the subliminal suggestions, the embedded commands, and all that kind of thing. What you say mentally. And it's so important that you got to be working on several different cylinders in what your energy projects. I talked a lot about the energy, and I talked a lot about that verbal, mental, and energy projection concept. But let's get a little bit more into the understanding of what I mean by that. And that is that when you do these things, you're going to project. You're going to be doing three things at one time. I'm talking to you verbally, but also mentally I'm talking to you. And I'm also projecting at you at the same time. It's, in the beginning, it's tough. Because it's very hard to remember your lines verbally and also think in your head a similar type of thought, and then at the same time have an energy that is clear, that is focused, that is concise, that is sending across the right vibes that you want. I talk a lot about subconscious nonverbal communication, and it dovetails nicely with your verbal, your mental, and your energy. So, if I use my verbal command, I command you. The more you hear the sound of my voice, the more powerful you will become. See, now that's the command. I'm commanding you that the more you hear the sound of my voice, the more powerful you will become. That's the verbal record of what we're talking about. Now I think to you, you are feeling more powerful. So let's just take these two. I'm speaking to you, and I'm saying to you verbally, the more you hear the sound of my voice, the more powerful you will become. And as I'm saying that, at the same time I'm thinking, you are feeling more powerful. You are feeling more powerful is the actual command. And then I'm using the verbal command as well. So, and now, some of you may be hearing that, and it doesn't make sense. Because how can that mental mind-to-mind communication really work? What does? I mean, we always are picking up what people are saying. We don't pick it up as words per se, but we pick up intentions, we pick up feelings, we pick it up and we make judgment calls just by what we feel a lot of times. But now you're becoming a specialist. And so you need to start thinking in this manner. That as you're shaking somebody's hand and you're commanding them or talking to them with your voice, you're also saying to them, this is going to be the best meeting of your life. You are going to enjoy this. I am the answer to your situation. You are going to feel so good. You see, that is the attitude of being powerful. And then I send you an energy of power that feels extraordinary. Take these concepts, because this right here is, if you can grasp this concept and you can really start to utilize it, I promise you that you're going to see more results in your life than ever before. And this can sum up the entire 12 weeks almost, if you can get something like this down, is that you have that voice, you have that mind, and you have that energy. There's a difference between the energy and the mind. The mind is actually thinking, whereas the energy is a presence that feels good. And you know what good energy feels like. You've been around people that feel good and you just love being around them. You've also probably been around people that have a negative energy. I have several people that I know that have a negative energy. Every time you're around them, they're just negative. They don't even have to open their mouth. They're probably thinking negative. That energy is just so stale, stagnant, it's not good. But see, now that you are powerful, and now that you feel comfortable with that power, you can start to do this. And I want you to practice this next week as well. I want you to really hone in on this. And I'm giving you a lot of little things for you to do this week, but I want you to really start to lock in on this concept. And how do you get results on something like this? Well, obviously you're talking verbal, you're thinking about it, and you're sending the energy. Just make notes on how well you get to the end in mind. As you're meeting somebody that you're thinking and you're feeling, you're sending that energy, causing them to feel good, you will be surprised. I've done this with people over the years, and when they get this down, they call me and they say, I cannot believe how well that worked. I gave somebody the thought that they would do this or that, and they came back to me and said exactly what I was thinking to them as I was speaking to them, even though it was slightly different. So it's really cool stuff, folks. Now, I'm going to go into some power concepts that are extremely important and things that you can't live without, especially in hypnotic influence. The power of tonality is what's going to separate you. I've been saying, you know, this is going to separate you. That they're all so powerful. And using your tones properly is going to get you more mileage than so many other skills that are there. And of course, now you're going to take this tonality information and you're going to apply it to what the last piece of information, which was the verbal, and we're going to take the tonality and we're going to start to use that in conjunction with what we just talked about. The power is in the voice. Extreme power. If you've ever heard, James Earl Jones, the voice of Darth Vader, and he's got a really deep voice, powerful voice. That's the type of voice that emits power. And if you know who I'm talking about, if not, Google his name. See if you can hear his voice, and you'll know the voice. I'm sure everyone has heard that voice before. If you've seen Darth Vader, that's him, or if you've heard Darth Vader. There's both hard tones and soft tones, and I'm going to share with you when you use each one, because you're going to use each one differently. You're going to use them at different times. It just makes sense. And then energy projects through the voice. So if you have a stagnant energy, it could really mess up what you're trying to say. Because again, one thing that we're going to talk about is congruency, which means we want all of our systems to be running on the same success pattern. We don't want them to be in conflict with one another. I don't want to be saying to you, you know, to do one thing, and then my mind's thinking another, and my energy is a totally different one. You see, that's not congruent. Congruent is when you have all cylinders lined up, all the planets are lined up, and you get everything working. So let's talk a little more about some of these things. Actually, let me go into, let's see here. I lost one of my slides, but that's not going to be a problem. because there are two different tones, hard tones and soft tones. So let me tell you the difference between them, and that is this. The hard tones are going to be, and if you watch the video that I did before, I talk a little bit about that, but the hard tones are going to be more raspy, something like this, monotone, drawing someone out, they follow and listen to the words as they are pushed out from the diaphragm. It's almost kind of eerie in some respects. And yet, it has a projection of energy that comes from deep within that you can use. I've seen preachers use it. I've seen sales motivators and motivational speakers. If you've ever listened to Tony Robbins, you can see him use it. Now, the soft tones are a tone that you use to relax somebody. Also use this tone with women, children, to get them to feel comfortable with what it is that you're doing. And when you speak like this, you can almost say anything to anybody because of the tone. And when you speak like this, they have to listen. They have to pay attention to each word. And it can be monotone or not, but it's soft. It's relaxing, and it almost just puts you into a trance with that tone. So those are the two extremes of tones. You're going to work with both kinds. You're going to work with the hard tones. The hard tones will probably be harder to use, but here's one thing you have to understand is you know what kind of voice you have. And if you have a deep voice, friends of mine that have deep voices, they're pushing energy out naturally. And so in some cases, I've had to tell them, okay, you need to tone it down. You need to soften the tone. For somebody that has a softer tone, bring the tone up. You see? But you can manipulate with both tones. And what I want you to do is I want you to go out there, and I want you to project that energy through your tones and see how it works. I can promise you one thing, and that's why you talk in the soft tones to children. You would not talk to children in a raspy tone. Come over here. I need you to help me with something. It would just scare them. It would freak them out. Hi. Come on over here. If you help me out, I'll get you an ice cream cone. You know, something like that. You know, my kids never liked the harsh tones or the hard tones because it was too much. By the same token, if you're a male and you're speaking to women, they love the soft tones. They'll melt in your hands if you use those soft tones. Now, one thing you need to be really conscious of is that if you are in a, let's say, a business scenario and you have a guy who's very powerful speaking, you're better off going with the harder tone. Monotone, maybe stressing each word so that they understand fully what you mean. You see, somebody that is in that scenario could be a CEO of a company, a president of a company, they're used to being spoken to and they like speaking directly to people. I've worked with many people like that if you use the soft tone on them, it would totally not work because they're used to directness. And when you're not direct with them, they might see that as weakness. But there are times when the soft tones come in where you could do a blend and you could use a hard tone and then you could say, do you understand what I'm saying? Do you see the benefit of what that could do? And you just ride up and down the tones. I want you to try that. Now, you're going to notice that with individuals that you already know, they're going to pick it up. They're going to be like, why are you talking like that? Why are you speaking so softly? But I can promise you that it'll work extremely well. For those of you guys out there, if you try it on women, it is terrific. It is very seductive. It works very well. And the hard tones, and for you ladies, always use the soft tones. Obviously, you know, if you get into a situation where somebody is trying to manipulate you, you could then go to the harder tones that will cause them to, you know, do what you ask them to do. But always keep in mind that energy projects through the voice. And that energy is just like we talked about in the last section. You want to make it a good energy. If you have a soft tone, but the energy comes across like you're some kind of weirdo, then guess what? The energy is going to come across like you're some kind of weirdo. And I think you know what I'm saying. You've met people like that where they had a tone of their voice that was distracting, that made you uneasy because of the way they spoke. And it's the energy that they're projecting. And so I want you to go out and really practice these tones, practice the energy, get that voice modulation. Now, when we went over the section on self-hypnosis, obviously I introduced you to a software called Audacity. And I would recommend that you fire up your Audacity and start hitting these tones and go through different commands, go through different induction sequences, trance sequences, and use the different tones and see what they sound. Now, I know when you record your own voice, it always sounds strange. It always sounds bizarre, and most people don't even like hearing their own voice when it's recorded. I've gotten used to it over the years because I've done it so much, and that's generally what happens. But a lot of times people say, I don't want to record my voice. I don't want to hear my voice. But you need to learn to hear your voice to see how good it's coming along. Because this is as important as anything that you can do to become a hypnotic influence specialist. And it works extremely well. Trust me on that one. Power of the eyes. The eyes hold a lot of power. You've heard the expression, eyes are the windows to the soul. And they are. Because you can tell a lot from somebody's eyes. You can tell if they're lying. You can tell if they're recalling memories. You can tell a lot by looking into somebody's eyes. And there's a lot of different things that you can look at, you know, where the different positions of the eyes. But what I'm going to be talking about is your eyes and where your eyes want to be, how you want to do them. And if you look on the other video that I did, the kind of the introduction video, I show you some examples of the eyes, the soft eyes and the strong eyes. But never discount the fact that the eyes hold immense power. In fact, if you look up, just look up hypnotic influence, look up hypnosis, look up hypnotizing, and probably if you pulled up 10 images, a large portion of those images are going to have eyes. Even if you look at my manipulation book, I have an eye. Because there's a power in the eyes. If you look at our Chi Power Plus book, the original version, it's got the eye. And so the eyes are a power. And there's power that comes out of your eyes. And you can either have, like I said before, in the tonality section, you can either have a good energy coming out or bad energy. So look in the mirror at your eyes. See what your eyes are telling you. Look at people in the eyes. Don't look away. The easiest way for somebody to tell if you lack confidence or if you have a very low self-image is by looking at your eyes and seeing if you actually can hold their gaze. If you can't hold their gaze, then you don't have the confidence. And so I'm gonna direct you to go out this week and hold somebody's attention with your eyes. You know, look at their eyes and project a nice energy. You can almost project any type of energy through your eyes. You'll notice I talk about the strong eyes and the soft eyes. They both work extremely well. You got your soft eyes is going to project pleasing, less intense energy. You get your strong eyes, which are very intense, designed for those with strong personalities or for formal inductions. And so what I want you to do is I just want you to keep learning how to project through the eyes. And you'll notice on the video where I show you, where you can see my face and you can see my eyes, you can see how I do the sleepy eye peripheral vision. You can also see how I do more of the strong eyes. You want to use both. You want to try both. Like I said, you're probably going to use soft eyes most of the time because you don't want to come across like your eyes are too intense. They're blazing at people because when your eyes are too intense, because of the amount of energy that is projected through the eyes, it will make people feel uncomfortable. Whereas when you do the sleepy eye, peripheral vision, it's more relaxing. It's going to have people feel a lot more comfortable with you than if you have just crazy eyes. If you've ever seen anybody with crazy eyes, it's the weirdest thing. And man, it just weirds you out big time. And that's what I'm talking about. So again, you know, look at yourself in the mirror and see. Even maybe poll some of your friends. Say, what do you think about my eyes? Are they too strong? Are they too, you know, talk about it. And then use the techniques that we're talking about to take you from point A to point B. And then, of course, the power of your hands. Your hands transmit power just as your eyes and your voice do. Your hands transmit power by the movements that you make and also by your intentions. Now you'll notice in some of the other sections where we really got into the using your hands as transmitter, focus on my hands. You are now getting sleepy and more relaxed. Now, when you're using your hands, and you're using your eyes, and you're using the tone, you've all of a sudden got a three-pronged attack in order to get somebody's attention. And these are kind of like, this is kind of like the trifecta, the three-legged stool, if you will, the three-pronged attack of how you want to be able to influence somebody with power and get them focused. And you're doing all this by using a lot of the hypnotic game plan information. So you'll notice the first part of this presentation wasn't very hypnotic at all. We talked about how to use these different strategies to get somebody to be focused on whatever it is they want to be focused on. And now we're taking this concept in a totally different level, which is a way that we can present power to somebody. As we talk to them, we're using our power through verbal, through mental, as well as through the energy. Now, as we go through the other weeks, next week is subliminal suggestions. I'm really going to go into great details on how you can use this information. It's going to totally blow you away on how that's done. But these are concepts that I want you to practice. It's imperative that you get all these things practiced. And go out there and for a full week, get them practiced up. 3 days at the least. You know, but like I said, you know, you don't have to do it for hours at a time. Do a half an hour at a time. Get out there and start putting these skills to use. Anyone that's ever put these skills to use, they get great results. They get terrific results because they go out there, they start, you know, feeling it out. And again, like I've always said, plan, do, review. Plan out what you're going to do. Go out and do it and then review it. What did you do good? What did you do not so good? What could you do differently? How could you focus more importantly on getting the results that you're looking for? And always be in a constant state of renewal, a constant state where you're always looking to get better. And see, when you have that kind of attitude, that's when you really learn how to become comfortable with power. Because now you realize that the power is in your hands, because now you are the one controlling your situation. You're learning techniques and strategies, concepts, methods, and tactics that allow you to control your life in many, many different ways. Not only from the standpoint of working with others, but from the standpoint of working with self. And understanding that as you become more powerful working with others, you become more powerful for yourself. And that's ultimately what we're looking for with this hypnotic influence program. So, this is hypnotic influence week number 5. We'll be back next week with a focus on subliminal suggestions. I've enjoyed sharing this information with you. Thanks for watching, and have a great day. So long.